Thank God that this is Friday, almost approaching to the end of Friday. This is very much close to the end of the NYTS. And in these 2 weeks, we spent a lot of time. Talking about the teachings in the Bible. We talk about Joshua, we talk about Hosea, we talk about how you should conduct your life to live a valuable life for the Lord. It's through the class, through the prayer, through the communication between the group, we wish that you know how should you conduct your life properly, that you were able to fight a good fight for the Lord. Also for this afternoon prayer, we would like to share about how do you, according to the Bible, to be a valid soldier, a valor, a powerful, a mighty soldier for Christ after you returned from here to your home or to your local church. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2 verse 1. Second Timothy chapter 2 verse 1. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. And the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Verse 3. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. This is the message that Paul wrote to Timothy, an old worker. The final words from an old worker given to the young workers as passing down the baton, from one generation to the next. As we know, the Apostle Paul, in his life, he has demonstrated the true meaning of mighty soldier for the Lord. In his entire life, after he believed in Jesus, from the time he believed in Jesus until the time that he died, he demonstrated the true meaning of soldier, a good soldier. Also, as he reviewed his years of servitude, as he looking back of all the battles that he fought for the Lord, he came up with some secret tips or the word of wisdom for the younger generation. And hopefully, Timothy can take on the baton and also serve as a mighty soldier for the Lord. Other than here, we also have the same wish for every one of you. In here, you are in here for 2 weeks, only 2 weeks. And we try to cram many teaching into your heart. And in here, we try to give you a very intensive prayer life. Like a bookcamp. We want to squeeze so much things into such a short and limited time so you can be prepared to fight the battle. And you know what? As we approach to the end of NYTS, it marked the beginning of the warfare for you. This is like the training ground. In here, you are well taken care of, you are protected. Once you finish here, you will be sent to the front line and you will be there fighting for your survival. It's the reality, like it or not. That's what it is. After these 2 weeks, after you go back to your house, what do you do the first thing after you enter to your room? What is the first person? Who is the first person that you contact? So all those will determine the result of these 2 weeks. And sometimes I worry for some of you. Some of you I'm not worried about because you, some of you are very much ready to take on the challenge of life. But not every one of you. Not every one of you. So since we only have 2 days left, please, let's continue to push ourselves and prepare ourselves so that after we leave here, we no longer just barely keeping ourselves alive. It's good that you are alive. Every year when I see you, oh, thank God, survive through another year. Every time you come back, oh, repent, no. Yes, I sing, but I wasn't dead. Haven't died yet. You know, every year we are going through this survival game. Hopefully that this time is somehow somewhere different. Instead of barely keeping yourself alive, you can go there and say, hey, let's come. I'm ready. Ready. Not only I will survive, but I will fight. Not only I will fight, but I will win. Not only I will win. Next time when I come back here, I will be even better. That's the whole idea. NYT is not just a place for you to barely keeping yourself alive, but to replenish, to sharpen your weapon, to get yourself ready for the next level of war. That's what it's supposed to be about. Also, here, there are a few things that we need to remember. The wisdom from Apostle Paul for the young generation. The first thing here says, you, my son, be strong in the grace of Christ Jesus. You know what? We always tell you need to be strong. You know that you need to be strong. But if we pay attention in here, it says, be strong in where? In the grace. Usually when you think about being strong, you think something very hard, solid, metallic, strong in defeating the enemy, strong in conquering the land, strong in performing miracles. But the gear says, strong in the grace. It's not strong in faith, strong in doctrine, strong in doing holy work. But it's very interesting. He said, strong in the grace of the Lord. I think that's something that we need to ponder upon. Why did he say strong in grace? Because Paul understands better than you and I. When do you have this? How do you have this strength? How do you become stronger? A lot of time it's because you feel this love from God. It's not when you are outside, wow, I do this holy work, I do that holy work. No. Paul was able to be so powerful and strong because according to him, he said, God's love compels me, so I no longer live for myself. He did not say, I see so many miracles, so I can do this for the Lord. I perform miracles. Oh, I know this, I know. I do this, I do that. No, he said, because the love of the Lord compels me. So how do you become a strong and powerful soldier? You have to always being moved and touched in the grace of the Lord. When was the last time that you shed tears because you feel God loves you very much? When was the last time you promised to God that you will live a different life because you feel filled by His grace? That's what makes you strong. That's what makes you strong. When was the last time you read the Bible about His crucifixion? And this fire, small fire, inside of you start to burn and say, Lord, you die for me. I live for you. I will do something for you in my life. Maybe not Africa, because not everybody get to go to Africa. Maybe not Dominican Republic, because not everybody speaks Spanish. But I will do something, anything for you. Even in my local church. In school, among my peers, I will fight for you. I will proclaim your name. I will demonstrate a Christian life. You know what? That's called be strong in the grace because you feel the love. So brothers and sisters, how do you become stronger than you are now? It's that you always retrieve the memory that God loves me very much. It's when you always contemplate on his crucifixion and suffering for no one else but for you. Just you. When you kneel down and pray, say, you know what? I'm very, very loved. So that I will live a different life. That's how you become strong. So hopefully we can all, like Apostle Paul, be strong in the grace of the Lord. When Paul was very old, after serving God for 40 years, he kneeled down in his in 2 Timothy, he said, what? I was sinner, chief sinner of all, but God loved me anyway. That's this kind of love allow him to fight the battle all the way until he died. Hope we can do the same. Let's continue to read, huh? How do you become a strong and powerful worker? Verse 2. The things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses. So the second thing that in order for you to be strong is not exercise every day, lifting weight and ready to, you know, do you believe in Jesus? Did you see this? No. You don't do that. How do you become a powerful worker? In here says, you need to hear the teaching. Without hearing the teaching, without learning, you will be very, very weak. You know, when we fight the spiritual battle, it's not this outer physical form. There is the inner man, inner person, a true you, an inner person. Also, in the book of Ephesians, it talks about the strength of the inner person, strength of the inner you, the real you. And that can only grow through prayer and through Bible reading and study. Only through understanding the Bible, only through many prayers, this inner man can become strong, not through exercise. So when you preach to people, when you do holy work, when you want to conquer the promised land for the Lord, your inner man must be strong. Inner man must be strong. And that can only, you can only attain this figure, the six pack, only through a lot of cultivation. Prayer, Bible reading, understanding of the teaching. So when you talk to people, you know, when you are trying to convince people the truth is good, when you want to bring them to church, when you say something, because you speak with the power like Jesus Christ, because inside is filled with strength, with spirit, the inner man is very strong. So when you speak with authority. And then they come, they listen, and they're convinced. Also, this is how you become a valor worker for the Lord. It's through cultivation. That's why you are here. You are not in here for summer camp. We said it earlier. We gave you a very intensive course in here. We force you to study, attend the class on time, and to pray and pray and pray. And the whole idea is, hopefully through these 2 weeks, at least we can make your inner man stronger than he was. Hopefully. So that at least after you go back, you are able to do something with your life. Inner man. Every time when you kneel down to pray, please try to see the real you inside. This inner man, is it big or small? Is it very healthy or very wimpy? Is it ready to fight the enemy? Or is it about to die out of starvation? I don't know. You tell me. Only you know. Outside, you look good, healthy, eating too much. Right? But inside, I don't know. Only you know, and only God knows. So every time when you kneel down and pray, say, Lord, allow me to see my true figure. Allow me to see my true self. Let me see my inner man. Is it strong, healthy, ready to battle, or not? So through cultivation, prayer is what makes you strong. Prayer is what makes you powerful. Prayer is what makes you the man of God. Let's continue, looking back. Number three, I think here it says in verse 2, he says that you also entrust to reliable men who will be qualified to teach others. So this teaching, you also need to share with others. But here it says, entrust to man who is trustworthy. What is it about? It's about companions. It's about companions. That's another reason that you are in here. Finding good companion, not about your future spouse, but your future spiritual co-worker, friend, that will last a lifetime. You know, in some church events, in attending church events, that's another key factor that we must keep in mind. You are there also trying to find someone, a godly person, spiritual, religious, someone that you really want him or her to be your friend. Because this person will be there by your side, fighting spiritual battle with you. I have many of them. In fact, through seminars, when I was in your age, when I attended your seminars, I have buddy so close, even until today. One of them is Pastor Timothy, but we know him from Canada. He's my very close buddy, and we met in Taiwan Shorten Theological Seminar. It's been almost 20 years. And actually, we had two months ago, we had a small-scale Shorten Theological student reunion in Toronto. It's just by accident, 7 of us happened to be there. You know, when I look back to the yearbook, that there were actually 5 pastors and at least 3 pastors' wife from our class. It's very interesting that some of them, you just build this bond for life. You share the words of the Lord together. You go out and work for God together. And you have this friendship in the Lord forever. This is so amazing. Also, when you come here, yes, you need to cultivate for sure. That's your duty. Cultivation, Bible study, attending the class, fellowship, sure. But meanwhile, you also need to build, try to find someone spiritual that you look up to. Oh, you know what? He is, or she is, a good demonstration of Christian, and I want to be like him or her. You know what? Try to build a spiritual bond. Friends. That in here says, entrust. You have someone that you can entrust the words of God together. Someone that you can work together. Someone that's on the same path, same journey, and having the same goal and same aim together. It's very cool. Seriously. If you can work with someone, since you are NYTS student to your NYTS counselors, who knows, maybe one day you serve together, like Timothy and I. We serve together as full-time ministers, together in church event. It's so wonderful. And you know what, sometimes we will sit and we will talk and we will go back to the old days. Oh, that's old people. Old people do that. So remember that last year we both fly to Hawaii for the NCC. And because of a jet lag, we both got jet lag from East Coast. We both got up around like 4 o'clock. And we just went out and take a walk at 4 in the morning in Hawaii on the street. There's no one else there. And you know, we walk in the dark, we walk and talk. And we go back to the years. About what we did in the Shorten Theological School, and we talk about the people that we mutually know, and then we talk about in the past few years, what have we done for the Lord? What are the work, you know? And then we end up in Madonna. Yeah, that's the only thing open at that time. But it's wonderful. It's just wonderful. So brothers and sisters, it is wonderful if you will have a lifelong spiritual companion that you can always rely on. You can always trust your back to him or her. Always be there. When you are in urgent, you pick up a phone call, he kneels down for 3 hours for you. It's great. That's what you need. Wonderful. So companions, spiritual friends, buddies by your side until you, both of you, conquer this journey, until you stand in the presence of the Lord. And the Lord says, good job. And you look at each other. Very good. Fight the battle together. Conquer and triumphant together. It's a great feeling when you have a friend like that. I had that. I have that in my life. More than just one person, but I really hope that you have the similar buddy as well. Not the buddy that will just play video games with you. No. Those things fade away. But a buddy who will share the life of the Lord with you. Amazingly wonderful. I hope you can have the same experience. Lastly, let's turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2. I think here it says, the things that you heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to the reliable men who will also be qualified to teach. Verse 3. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, Paul specifically told Timothy, ready for hardship. You know what? I will tell you in here also, ready for hardship. In here, you are supposedly in paradise. Well, not physically, but at least in here, you are protected, saved. Because in here, at least someone is watching you. I mean, the counselors, the team captains, the pastors, we watch you. So you won't be here, you won't be like hiding in the office and trying to get online and do your thing. No, because we monitor you. Right? But after you go home, no one is there to monitor you. You are on your own. That's called hardship. After you go back, you have to constantly fight this battle of desire of the world and the willingness to serve God. The good, the bad, always battle in your heart. Constantly. In here, we suppress by giving you this environment. We suppress by keeping an eye on you. We suppress by, you know, creating this atmosphere that you feel guilty to do certain things. That's what we do in here. So, you know what? Sometimes, when you go to sleep, you are hiding in your sleeping bag and try to use your cell phone. And then you hear, oh, that's from James. Oh. So, you know, we make you feel less comfortable to do those things. Hopefully that you can concentrate in here. That's the whole idea. But I can tell you, you know, the phone is so bright. When you're in sling bag, it's like a lightning cocoon. We can see it. Also, brothers and sisters, in here, we try to suppress your worldly connection through the environment control. But after you go home, you are on your own. No one is there to tell you, no one is there, hey, why are you doing this in here? No one will say that. No one will do that. You are on your own. That's called fire. That's called battle. And sometimes you feel this urge. I want to do this, but I shouldn't. That's called hardship. There will be times that you are asked to do holy work, but you don't want to, but you know you should. That's called hardship. About in here is a good soldier for the Lord. The good soldier for the Lord. If there's obstacles, they face it. They face the challenge. They overcome the obstacle. If there are tough times, accusations, hardships, they swallow it. Also, that's why we say, be a man, right? you may swallow it for the Lord. There might be times that people do not understand. There might be times that in school, at work, that people make fun of you. So what? Swallow it. Be a man. Take on the challenge of life. Fight the good battle for the Lord. And endure the hardship for Him. Can you do that? You know what? Believing Jesus is not about sitting here, listen to the sermon, kneel down, pray for 20 minutes. That would be too easy. If this is all about being a good Christian and being able to go to heaven, it would be too easy and too unrealistic. This is only preparation for training ground. You are here, listen to the sermon, so that when you go back to the battlefield, you know what is right, what is wrong, and how to protect yourself. You kneel down and pray in here, so when you go out, you are able to stand strong and you can fight the war. It's not about here, it's about outside. Just because you are able to kneel 20 minutes without falling apart and collapse, doesn't mean you are a good soldier for the Lord. It's not what you do when you kneel down, it's how you act after you get up from prayer. It's your action. So then here says, endure hardship, because after training, he said, Timothy, after the training that I gave it to you, when you face the challenge in the world, when you are mocked, ridiculed by the outsider, when you are criticized by the church member, you stand strong, you endure the hardship like a good soldier of the Lord. Keep that in your heart. Let's come.